Appreciate the prayer that's been offered and desire an interest in your continued prayers tonight. I want to turn to a very familiar passage, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's a passage that is very familiar to many. It's a wonderful passage of praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to start just by reading the whole chapter. Of course, it's only five verses, but Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? I know there's tunes that people use to sing this psalm. And what a joyful thing it is. Let me ask you a question to begin with. Who's going to offer joyful praise to the Lord? Okay. So we might say the elect are the only ones that will ever have a heart to praise God, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit of God in us, we'll never have him working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it is his good pleasure for us to give him praise, isn't it? All right? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a song service where you were just praising God and those around you were praising God, but you looked over there and there's somebody that's just sitting there not praising God? And the tough thing is sometimes you don't have to look very far. But you know that person. You know they're a child of God. You know they're born of the Spirit of God. Does that mean they're always going to be praising God? See, that's what I'm after. Just because we're God's people, we ought to give praise and glory to his matchless name every breath we breathe. He's that worthy. He's that good. His blessings to us have been so abundant. And like I often say, my favorite definition of eternity is that it's just long enough to praise God enough. Right? So he has given us so much that we should praise him every day here. We will praise him in glory. I think there's room for improvement in our day-to-day lives to give him even more praise and glory. Absolutely. I believe there is. So what keeps us from it? See, this psalm is a call to praise and thanksgiving. And you know what? The Old Testament saints had plenty to praise God about. But New Testament saints have even more reason to praise God. He blessed us to understand that we're sinners. Not that we were sinners, we are sinners. And God still loves us. And he watches over us, and he blesses us, and he has mercy upon us, and he helps us, and he keeps us, and he's promised us eternal life, and he's given us his Son who has secured our eternal life, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus eternally. Isn't that plenty to praise him for every day?
Absolutely.
Yes. And I'm not saying you don't, but I am saying there's still room for improvement. There is. I know it is for me. All right? So who is going to praise the Lord? Doesn't it have something to do with remembering what we are and the grace that's been bestowed upon us and the goodness of our God and being mindful of the fact that though we have sinned, God has had mercy upon us and sent his Son to save us from our sins. And he has given us his Spirit, so he has quickened us and blessed us to know him, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, who came and suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, who someday will come back to take us, to raise us if we pass the scene of this life, to change us if we're alive and remain. We'll be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We've got plenty to rejoice about. We've got plenty to praise God for. At every remembrance of his goodness and mercy upon us. So who's going to praise him? How much will we praise him? We know, I think we've established already, that he's worthy of unending praise. He's worthy of our highest praise. He's worthy of higher praise that we can give him in this life. But when we're changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body, I believe then we'll be able to praise him as we should.
Very good.
And we'll have a heart that desires nothing more than to praise God for his mercy and his goodness upon us. But you know, we have lots of hindrances in this world. Sometimes life is hard. All of you have experienced that. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes, excuse me, sometimes the adversary gains an advantage. Sometimes he wins victories. Sometimes we hand him the victory. Aren't you thankful that God is so merciful and so good and kind and loving? And when Moses begged the Lord, "Show me your glory," God caused all of his goodness to pass before Moses. What a way to show his glory, by showing his goodness. But that is his glory. That is his glory. And the greatest expression that we've been ever shown of the glory of God is in the face of his Son. Isn't that right? You know, 2 Corinthians 4:6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How about Hebrews chapter 1? It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's our God. That's our Jesus. That's what he's done for us. Oh, give him praise and honor and glory. Our adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
He's our adversary. He works against us. He looks for opportunities to keep you from praising God. Do you think you would praise God more if Satan hadn't bothered you some in this world? I tell you, there's sometimes we realize, Satan, get thee behind me. You know, we've got those worries at times. Those I'm talking about times when it seems like he's worrying us and nothing's going right. You have those days. But Satan loves to hinder us. And he's got a whole bag full of tools. And one of those favorite tools is discouragement. And you know, when you get down and discouraged, you're not letting your light shine like you should. And I'm not saying it's automatic. You can turn it on and off like a faucet. It's real. Discouragement is real. Anxiety is real. But I'm going to tell you, God's greater. God's better. And the sooner we can get our mind set on things above and not on things on the earth, it's not going to make everything better, but it sure will help us get through it. It'll help us. He's always there to help us. I guess I'll get to our text in a minute, but you know, Jesus told us in John 14, I'll not leave you comfortless. He told his apostles, I'll not leave you comfortless. And I just believe that lesson applies to us tonight. I'll not leave you comfortless. He says, I will come. That word comfortless there means he's not going to leave us as if we are orphans. Think about an orphan who doesn't have someone to take care of them, who doesn't have someone to provide for them, who doesn't have the things children that have parents taking care of them. There's many things there they don't have. And lots of times they go without. Sad, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. He said, I will come to you. And he's talking about coming in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who comes alongside and renders aid. We have that available to us at all times. Sometimes, though, we don't ask for it. Sometimes we don't ask for his help, but we have it. And I'm saying all of this to emphasize the fact that we have plenty to praise God for at all times. We're just, as we make our way in this world, we just have to try to remember those things and try to do the best we can in praising God in the bad times, the hard times, as well as the good times. And you know, the peril is, quite often, when things are going well, is there's a lot of the times when we praise him the least. When things are going well. You know, Moses warned the children of Israel, when thou hast eaten and art full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. But aren't we prone to do that? You know, people are just not any different than they have always been. That's why Solomon could say there's nothing new under the sun. People are the same as they have been. Oh, we've got different inventions. We've got different means. We've got a lot of stuff that's different. But people, personalities, and how we respond to things are pretty much the same. So what is he calling us to do here in this psalm? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He said, all ye lands. Now I realize that not everyone's a child of God. But you know what? God's good to all. Even the non-elect receive of the sunshine and the rain, and the natural comforts of this world that God has made for us to live in. So it would be right for them, I know it's not in their heart to do it, but it would be right for them to praise God. Because he's worthy of it. He has provided so much. It rains on the just and the unjust. Not alike, but it rains on the just and the unjust. Okay? So praise ye the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So not everyone's going to do that. How about us? How about us? Yes, we have hindrances. But isn't he worthy that we praise him anyway? Okay. You know, life is hard. It gets hard. I understand that. Paul talked about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But he's not saying that the things that we endure in this life are always light. He's just saying comparatively they are. He even would say in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The best is yet to come. But oh, what a blessing. When we're thinking about the goodness and mercy of our God, when we're thinking about how God has delivered us, how he has blessed us, how he provides for us, I tell you, our souls can just soar. We can just praise and adore him. And aren't those seasons sweet? And we feel the closeness of our Lord. But there's another hindrance that keeps us from praising God as we should. And it seems like everywhere I turn these days, it's one of those things the Lord's just really impressed upon my mind. And I've preached on it some, and I just continue to see it everywhere I turn, is in that parable of the sower. When those seed were sown among thorns, and as the Lord interpreted that for us, he didn't leave us to guess just what that really represented. The disciples asked him, and he told them. He said the thorns represented the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. And when the seed, the word of God, is sown among thorns, Luke's account of it says, it brought no fruit to perfection. I'm sure we've all had gardens that got neglected. Or maybe we had to go off on a trip, and by the time we came back, the grass was just taking it over. Now, when I was growing up, my daddy always had a truck patch. When the crops got laid by, then we started working the truck patches. And we had plenty of opportunities to look at grass and things like that in the field crop, you know, in those truck patches, but also in the garden. And you know, when the grass would take over in those places, the fruit, the seed would grow. There'd be a plant there, but it wouldn't be very healthy. It would be weak and spindly, whereas those had been attended to, they were full and very fruitful and all that. But in those places where the grass and the weeds took over, it just didn't bear good fruit. Isn't that the lesson? And the Lord was warning them that sometimes the seed is sown into hearts where the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world have taken such hold that it chokes. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, use that same word of choking the word of God and keeping it from being fruitful in that person's life. And don't we see that all around us? And can't it even happen to us?
Absolutely.
That's a hindrance. That limits the praise to our God. It shouldn't, but it does. It does. So, but there are seasons in our life when we're afflicted. And if there's one verse out of the book of Zephaniah that I can remember, it's this. Zephaniah 3:12. And I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I tell you, there's many times when life gets hard, when we realize that we our need of the Lord, and he's so gracious, and he's so kind and so good to bless us to feel his presence. Isn't it so sweet in those times when we feel our need and the Lord is right there filling it? I tell you, I'll leave in the midst of thee, he says, of an afflicted and poor people, and they, you know, when, like we said earlier, when things are going well, sometimes we tend to forget. But I'll leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And when we're blessed to see our need of the Lord, and we go to him. James says, draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. That's a faithful promise. Now, there's a way to draw nigh to him, isn't it? If we confess our sins, John tells us, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a way to come to him. But oh, we have that promise. If we'll draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh unto us. Do you remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? You remember that church? You know, there's something about the book of Ephesians that seems to just warm my heart when I take the time just to read that little book. 6 chapters, doesn't take very long. It just warms my heart. All the lessons, all the doctrine. I've shared with you many times, the last time I ever saw my mother alive, I had the opportunity to visit with her, and she wasn't even sick when I was there with her, and we had such a good visit, and she had been reading Ephesians chapter 1. And it's like she'd never noticed it before. And she said, you know, that just says everything we believe. Well, that's good. And it sure is comprehensive. And it does lay it out there. I recommend it to anyone. But what a blessing. She had gotten to the point where she was bedridden and couldn't get around very easily. And she was reading her Bible and the Lord was blessing her. And she was enjoying reading those precious truths. I tell you, Ephesians 1 will do it for you. But the book of Ephesians, what a wonderful book it is, and how wonderful that the Lord blessed Paul even from prison to write unto them and to teach those things. But that's one of the churches, as much good preaching and teaching as they had and the boldness that they had and the understanding that they had and the things, when you get to Revelation and you find out the Lord had somewhat against them. You remember what that was? And it was big. It can happen so easily. Satan can get advantage of us so easily. But he said, you've left your first love. They left their first love. Now he told them, repent. You know, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. And do the first works. In other words, get back to seeking him first. Putting him first. So this church that was so blessed, they'd left their first love. So when we think about, there are hindrances. There are things in this life we have to be careful to guard our heart. Romans chapter 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world. And the word picture we've heard so oftentimes, not to be squeezed into its mold, but to be transformed by the renewing. That means we remember some things. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where we find the desire to give Him praise and honor and glory, when we're found in His will. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You know, I like to say, if you want to feel the presence of the Lord here, bring Him with you. Walk with Him throughout the day. Sing praises to His holy name. You'll have more of the presence of Him with you when you get here. Not everybody would be in the same frame of mind, and they need that. There may be times when you're cast down, and you need that. You know, I remember a sister from a church I pastored some time back. She used to say, you know, when you're up, the church meeting needs you to help everybody else be up. When you're down, you need the church meeting to help you to get up. We need one another. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be helping one another. And the Lord knew what He was doing when He gave us the church. How much we need it. And we're living in a day where there's so many that are gotten so comfortable about staying home and watching the services on the couch. Maybe in their pajamas. It's a prayerful time, brethren. We're living in perilous times. There's lots of hindrances. But we're called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You know, a good exercise sometimes is just to sit and ponder just who God is. His attributes and all of His attributes, even His wrath, is holy wrath. The holiness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, all the goodness of God, all these things. Think about it. Stretch your mind. You know, He can't be any greater than He is, but He can sure be greater in our mind and in our heart. And so we need to be exercised in that glorious truth of just who our God is and what He has done for us. It stirs our hearts. It causes us to remember the goodness and mercy of our God. Now, Paul, in writing to the church at churches of Galatia, chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 6, he talks about how that neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. That's where we've accomplished something. And that word worketh means that the energy of faith is love. So when we're reminded, and what did the Lord, how did the Lord sum up the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors ourselves. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When we're remembering the love God has for us, when we're remembering the love He has given to us, when we're remembering the love that we're to be sharing to others, it energizes us. God can't love us any more than He does. His love is perfect. But we can sure love Him better than we do. And that's kind of what we're talking about tonight, isn't it? You know, when we talk about keeping the commandments of God, Jesus spoke of that in terms of love. If you love me, He said, keep my commandments. So it's good for us to tell the Lord that we love Him, but it's better to show Him. It's better to honor His word and observe to do it. It's better to do those things. So we find, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Oh, there's so many around us today that worships the God that they want. You know, that's what an idol is. They would go out in the forest and cut down a tree and fashion a chunk of wood and whatever pleased them, or molded some metal in whatever way it pleased them, made it like they wanted it. So when they had something that they wanted, then they'd bow down to it. Well, they really, in fact, are worshiping themselves. Oh, bless your hearts. When we realize God is the one who made us, not we ourselves, everything we have is by His mercy and His grace. Everything that we are, if there's anything good in us, it's because God gave it to us. He deserves all the praise, the honor, and glory to His matchless name. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. His people. Now in that verse, we're called His people. We're also called His sheep. Aren't you thankful that we can claim that we are the people of God? That in our hearts, we have His love. In our hearts, we have a desire to worship and adore His matchless name. What a blessing. By the grace of God, that's what He's given us. And He says, we're the sheep of His pasture. Well, when we think about Psalm 23 and how the Lord talks, how David talked about it by inspiration, how that He's our shepherd and what He provides for us. Well, could you ask for any better pasture than what the Lord provides? Could you ask for any better shepherd than who the Lord is? Oh, there's just so many things that will come to mind as we read this psalm of praise and thanksgiving. The first three verses of these five verses concentrate more on praise, the last two on thanksgiving. I've often said, you want to distinguish yourself as a Christian? Be more thankful. See, if you're thankful, you're probably already in about the 10% range, right? And you know why I say that. The 10 lepers that were cleansed. And how many came back? Was it 9? Came back to give thanks? I've got that backwards, don't I? It wasn't 9. It wasn't 8. It wasn't 7. It wasn't even half. They came back to give thanks unto God. 1. And Jesus made a point of saying, where are the 9? All 10 of them should have come back and said thank you. All 10 of them received the same blessing of cleansing. But only 1. I have to believe somehow that principle is still alive and well today. Whether we're talking about a tenth of the people, or whether we're talking about a tenth of the time that we ourselves are as thankful as we should be. The problem is there. We need to be mindful of His goodness and mercy. Don't let the things of this world crowd in and choke out the word. Don't let ourselves get distracted. It's just we have to guard our hearts every day. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. He's the one that's worthy that we should give blessings and honor and glory. And we have scriptures that speak of that high, high praise to our God. You know, when in Isaiah chapter 6, where he said, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high, lifted up. Yeah. His train filled the temple. Yeah. And those creatures said, holy, holy, holy. You know, we cannot adequately describe the glory and the holiness of our God. But that's a pretty good attempt to say holy, holy, holy. Perhaps it's the best way to describe it. It is the inspired word of God. The holiness. The absolute holiness. Perhaps that's not even necessary to describe it that way, but maybe it helps us. The absolute holiness of our God. Give thanks and bless His holy name. We cannot give Him too much reverence. Our problem is we don't give Him enough. But I'm thankful that He's given us the desire to try. I'm thankful for that. For the Lord is good. How good is the Lord? How good is He? Pardon? That's right. All good. All the time. But again, we don't have words to adequately describe it, do we? That's why we have to continue to praise Him. Because He's good all the time. He's worthy of more praise than we could ever give Him. The Lord is good. I hesitate to use the word amused, but sometimes it seems like when something really good happens to somebody, they so quickly say, the Lord is good. Well, that's right. He is. But when things aren't going so good, He's still just as good. We're the ones that are so subjective to what's going on. That's why we're to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. The more we focus on circumstances, the more we focus on what we wish was different, it affects us. Yeah. Now, the more we set our affection on things above, and remember, like David is saying in this psalm, the Lord is good. The more we think about that, the better we feel. It may not change our circumstances, but it will help us. And that's what this is all about. Giving praise and glory to His matchless name. Sister Nancy and I was talking the other day about how many folks we've known over the years that were so godly. I know we're all sinners. Do you know what I'm talking about? We've been blessed to know some mighty good folks. This church has such a rich heritage of so many that are so walk so closely with the Lord, were such a good example, who would have been the first to say they're unworthy of the least of God's mercies. And yet, what a blessing to have been blessed to know them and to live among them and to just see their good example and learn from it and be blessed by it. I tell you, what a blessing. And I've said in recent years, I've changed my definition of a hero. You know, my real heroes to me nowadays are heroes of the faith. Those that love the Lord and lived it. Those that talked the talk and walked the walk. That's what it's all about. And when you're doing that, you've got the help of the Lord close at hand. What a blessing. The Lord is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. His mercy is everlasting. The longer I live, the greater appreciation I'm gaining for the mercy of God. I guess I've got more history. More occasions when I've had to ask the Lord for mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Have you ever been down and wondered if his mercy was clean gone? The old devil loves to, when you get down, the old devil loves to tell you, how in the world could you be a child of God? Think that, do that, say that, feel that. That's another one of Satan's tools. And then we remember that his mercy endures forever. Oh, thank you, Lord, that your mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Now, tonight, that is particularly encouraging to me. There are so many perversions of the Bible. There seems to be so many that are falling away. There seems to be so much I think most all of us have lived long enough that we've seen a lot of changes in this world. Most of which are not good, not godly. You know, years ago I heard a preacher, he cited the denomination and whatever and each year they would come out with their revised whatever as if they were updating the Word of God. God's Word doesn't have to change. It was right from the beginning. It'll always be right, and it'll be here as long as this world stands. It would be good for us to treasure up as much as we can and hide his word as much as we can in our hearts. You remember what David said about that? Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. The more we can remember, the more we can look to his word and rejoice in it, observe to do it. It's what a blessing it is. His truth endureth to all generations. Back in Psalm 12, you know, he said the word of the Lord is, the words of the Lord are pure words, with an S. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever and forever. That tells me the Lord will keep his word available for his people. From passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, you know, especially 1 Corinthians 15, which says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So that tells me that God is going to have a people when Jesus comes again. And so that promise that he would keep his word from this generation forever, I'm just persuaded that God's people will have his word available to them somehow. Sounds like to me God has promised that he's going to keep it for them. Now, isn't it a blessing? I mean, a great blessing, that we have this word in our language. I mean, it could be that it was being preserved in the English, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic. It could be the word of God, but it could be in that language. But God has blessed us with his word in our language, so that we can read it, so that we can be blessed by it, so that we can treasure it up in our hearts. And the more we do that, I believe there'll be more praise that'll come forth from us. The more we're focused on the Word of God, the more we're focused on the blessings, the goodness, the mercy, all that God has done for us, all that he's doing for us right now, all that he's promised that he will do for us till he comes again, there's plenty. There's more than enough for us to give him praise and thanksgiving every day we live. It's what we'll do in heaven. Let's get busy now. And I know that you already are. But there's room for improvement, right? May God help us to give him praise and honor and glory. May his goodness and his mercy just burn within us, that we'd have a desire to show forth his praises to the one who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I hope I've stirred your mind. I hope I've touched your heart tonight. You know, it's a practical thing. And sometimes when we hear those practical lessons, it doesn't lift us up nearly as much as the doctrinal things that God's totally done for us. But it's good for us. It's good for us to be reminded. It's good for us to be exercised in those things. It's how we let our light shine. It's how we're salt in this life. It's how we show our love for God and for one another. And didn't Jesus say, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I want to serve the Lord, serve one another. May God bless you, is our prayer.